Welcome to Consequences of Our Culture podcast. Today, we will be discussing HBCUs. We have two guests with us today. Let's get into it. My name is Randall.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Amber.
And we have an astonished, polished scholar here to talk to us about predominantly white schools. We have Monte in the building. And we also have the HBCU expert. This woman went to Alabama A&M. She works at Alabama State. In high school, she took me and Amber on a field trip to Alabama A&M. You remember that?
Did we?
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
It's foggy in my mind.
Yeah. Let's give it up for Miss Massey. All right, and starting off with HBCUs. HBCUs, and correct me if I'm wrong, was created to give black individuals a chance. I feel like it, back then it was harder for, you know, a black individual to get an education. HBCUs provided a separate opportunity without, you know, any discrimination or, you know, negative practices going against. Miss Massey, can you tell us why you chose a HBCU?
Yes, like Randall said, I went to the Alabama A&M University. I am a proud alum. And mainly, start from the beginning, I was going to go to an all-Christian school, no kidding y'all, because I went to a private school in high school, but ended up graduating from another high school.
You went to a private school?
I went to a private school. What? Yeah, little unknown nugget. But went there. They weren't accredited, so I had to leave. So I went to another school, graduated from Lanier. And my guidance counselor gave me an application to A&M with scholarship information. So of course, I filled out the information and got the scholarship. Didn't have to pay anything but $75 my first semester. And it was a full ride. So I thank God for that every day. And that exposed me to HBCUs and everything, because the only thing I knew about HBCUs was Alabama State was there. I didn't want to go to State because it was at home. So I do understand the people that, you know, want to go away from home. But working at Alabama State, I could see why you would like to go there. But that was my reason why I went to HBCU. I got a full ride.
I didn't know you went to Lanier. That's crazy. Yeah. You're from Montgomery?
I am.
What?
How we got it?
I thought you was from, like, Birmingham or Huntsville.
Right.
Or
no, I'm from Montgomery. But, yeah, That's how I ended up at A&M.
Okay. And Monte, what made you decide to go to, you know, the universities you went to?
Yeah, I decided originally to go to college in Michigan.
Okay.
And when I did, I went to the college that gave me the most money. And so Alma College, which was a private Presbyterian University, liberal arts college, they gave me the most money. They gave me a full ride there. And I decided to go there, if I'm being completely honest.
Go for it.
I decided to go there because I grew up around a lot of white faces.
Really?
And that's, I felt comfortable. In Georgia, I grew up.
What part of Georgia?
Norcross, Georgia.
Norcross,
Georgia.
That's where Waffle House was started, small fact.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I worked at Waffle House. Long time ago.
But yeah, grew up in Norcross, Georgia. Not a huge city. Went to private school all my life, except for high school. And I was used to a lot of white faces. So when it came down to picking a college, I just felt where I thought I would feel the most comfortable. And then whoever gave me the most money. And that was Alma College.
I get that. And were you Did you ever consider a HBCU like any of the Atlanta schools? Like,
I did. Okay. I actually applied to a ton of schools, and I got into schools like UGA. I got into State. I got into Georgia Tech. I got into Morehouse.
You dodged a bullet with State, but continue.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I went to Georgia State, and it was great.
Exactly. My point for me.
Anyway.
But I was determined to go to Michigan and be with the other part of my family that I hadn't had that much experience with growing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And we'll take a short break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back. All right. Picking back up. Monte was explaining, you know, why he chose a predominantly white university. Monte, do you have any regrets? Or, you know, would you have rather... How do you feel about your decision?
I do have some regrets about going to a PWI. And in hindsight, if I had the opportunity to go back and choose going to an HBCU, I would. I think that I let my own fear of being uncomfortable control my decision at that time.
Okay, what made you feel uncomfortable, if you feel like sharing?
Yeah, sure. It's just, and I hate saying it like this, it's all I knew.
Right.
So I went to private school for elementary school, middle school, and then I convinced my dad to let me go to public school for high school. But even then, in Norcross, going to Norcross High School, it was still a predominantly white school.
Really?
And yeah, it's all I really knew. Mm-hmm. I want to say I may have had two black friends altogether. Wow. Now it's completely different school. It is completely different school. But back when I was in high school, it was predominantly white.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say you would have chose a HBCU. Do you know any, like, what pros are there to choosing a HBCU? And I'll ask you the same question, it's massive, but what pros are there to choosing a HBCU?
Well, as someone who did not go to an HBCU, but who later on in life desired to go to an HBCU, I can only think of pros by thinking of all of the cons of a PWI.
That makes sense.
And it is just being seen, just seeing yourself in other students. And I didn't get that at my PWI. I never felt seen. While I might have felt safe or thought I felt safe, I never really felt seen.
Okay, that. All right, Ms. Massey, you're an expert. Do you know?
I wouldn't say expert, but...
I mean, who else? Who better? You know?
I totally get what you're saying. When you go to an HBCU, with me being a social butterfly, I was able to adapt really, really heavy and just engulf myself into the culture. As far as building friendships, like I have a best friend that we've been friends since sophomore year. We tried to remember the date, but it's like 20 years of friendship. And then let's put on the layer of I was in a sorority, well, I'm still in, yeah. Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I was in that, I was in SGA. It was like, there was nothing that you couldn't do. They gave you that awesome feeling like, yes, you're in school, you're trying to do better, you're trying to get out and accomplish things in the world, and you can do that. So you saw that in your professors, you saw that in the people that came by and talked to you about different careers. Granted, I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing now, but I love what I do. But it's just about the culture. And it's funny how you said you went to where you were comfortable. But even in that, I'm pretty sure you probably had somebody else that was at Norcross, another black male or female. And they were like, I'm just tired of seeing all these white faces. I need to be where my people are, if not just to figure out who I am as a person or even to know my blackness. One of the things that HBCUs is a very good pro, they make sure that you know your history as far as, you know, going back to slavery. And not even with slavery, it's the many things that we've accomplished in life, like the traffic light, like right.
Gary Moore.
Right. It's like so many things that you be like, well, wow. And even with Alabama State, since I've been there, I can see where we were instrumental in the Montgomery bus boycott and stuff like that. So it's, you get that family feel.
Right.
And I'm only speaking from that experience. I just recently got into a PWI with my master's, but you get that family feel where, hey, if you're not doing something right, they're going to come and get you. You know, they going to try to reach you up and be like, hey, do you really think you need to be doing that? Or do you really think you should be doing this or that? So, but that's one, I guess that's one of my pros. You get that family experience, a good family, because you know you have your bad family. But the good family, the good family.
I feel that. Like I said in like a previous episode, a lot of people, you know, they feel comfortable around people that they feel more relatable to, you know, like someone who grew up in like a similar situation as you or someone who understands like, you know, the struggle necessarily. Okay, so HBCUs. Now, you know, we've moved past like, you know, the late 1800s. Do you feel like HBCUs are still needed in the culture? You know, now with like just as many African Americans going to, you know, PWIs, like, do you feel HBCUs are still, you know, necessary?
I guess I'll go first. Yes. They are necessary. Because we have been in a culture where we are getting used to be accepted in those PWIs.
Right.
And sometimes, and this is just me not really talking from experience, but from other stories that I may have heard, my brother went to, and he started out at A&M, but he finished at Auburn University. And one of his things was he wished he hadn't just stayed at A&M because he realized how much fight it had to be. Because sometimes in those PWIs, you may be the first. You may be the first to right. do whatever, okay. And it's sad to say that even in 2023, you are still being the first to do something. Whereas if you're at an HBCU, they're gonna push you to be the best and not necessarily always the first. Okay. So yes, they are necessary because it gives us this safe place or safe haven to grow and develop into the best individuals that we can be.
Okay. You got any opinion, Monte?
Yeah, I definitely think they are necessary for situations like me. Like, I am obviously a black person.
Obviously.
But because...
without a doubt.
What? I don't hear it.
But because that's not... because I didn't really grow up around a lot of black people for the longest time. And even at Alma, up until my sophomore year, I heavily struggled with an identity crisis, a serious identity crisis, because shortly after I started my sophomore year, I started to realize, oh, I can't do what those white boys do. I can't do, shortly after I joined my fraternity, oh no, I can't talk like them. to authority. I can't act like them to authority. So I think that HBCUs are extremely necessary because it just helps. I think they help people find themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you feel like, so us as a culture, right? We don't do enough uplifting of each other, but from, you know, stuff I've heard, and this is only from stuff I've heard, like, do you feel like some people are being like floated in HBCUs? Have you guys ever heard that? Or
I don't think floated. There is grace that is given that you usually wouldn't get at a, that you probably wouldn't get at a PWI.
Right.
Floated, no. You would, okay. Transparent moment. I failed my Shakespeare class.
Shakespeare.
And
you're an English major?
Yes. I failed Shakespeare. And so my professor was a Caucasian male. And I just thought that, and it was my senior year, so I just thought that he was going to, you know, give me that grace and just pass me. No, I had to. I was able to walk, thank God, but I had to take that class somewhere else so I can get the credit, so I can get my actual degree. Well, I didn't get that degree until I left in 2007. I didn't get the degree until 2012 because that's how long it took me just to first wrap my mind around, hey, you don't have your degree yet for real, so you need to go ahead and take this course so that this can be behind you. So no, they don't just pass you. Even if it was a different professor, I don't think I would have just got passed. I had to go through that just so I could say, hey, no, nobody's floated. You will get your work done or else. And I think I may have partied too much and thought that they was just gonna slide me through, but no, I didn't get slide through. I had to come back and turn in all that great work so I can get my degree. So transparent moment.
I mean, it's like I understand that, especially at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
But present day, I'm pretty sure they getting slid through. Cause I mean, even in high school, they getting slid through. So I know they don't even have the base knowledge to even take the college courses nor the discipline.
Yeah.
Cause think about it. At JD, well, at the high school here. I mean, y'all know. So the high school here, they have night school for high school students that fail, so they don't gotta do summer school. So
they have what?
They have night school.
Night
school. From like what, 3 to 6?
I'm gonna speak on that too.
They don't do the exit exams no more.
They don't.
No. Mm. I'm completely gone.
Oh wow.
It's just one test.
So my education is unique. Like I said, I went to private school up until my 12th grade year, fall semester. Spring semester, we changed, and I went to Lanier in the daytime, and I had to go to night school because all my credits didn't transfer. So I graduated with just the roll, no course, no nothing. Even though I was an AB student at my private school, and I had A's and B's, but I didn't have enough. They wanted me to stay an extra year to get, and I was like, no, I'm supposed to be the class of 03. So I was like, no, I'm gonna get out. And then that's when the light was at the end of the tunnel, and my counselor was like, fill this out. We see something more in you. Fill this out, and that's how I ended up at A&M. So I am a product of that, but they didn't slide me through. I still had to do the work. I had to take the exit exam, which that goes to the education system here in Alabama, because it's like
top notch.
It's like how I didn't grasp the concept, even though I had to take the exit at that time. I graduated in 2003, y'all. Okay, so at that time, the exit exam was taken. You had to take it. You had multiple times to take it. But for me, you just had like an hour or whatever. It was like the ACT, but it wasn't. to me. And then I think it was, at that time, it was on the 8th grade level. So, in my mind, I'm like, why y'all not passing this? Like, I don't know if it was the system or whatever, but I passed it on the first try. I wasn't worried about it because you had all day to pass the test. So, right. But I think that goes back to the education system. At least by the time you get into college, you may be slid through, but you do have remedial courses that you have to take in order to move up into the chain of getting all the other courses. So it's more like they're getting you prepared to be an actual college student if they do accept you on, what is it called, contingual basis or something like that.
Academic probation or something.
I will say that the one benefit, as we're talking about floating people through, the one benefit that I saw about going to a PWI was that I was one of very few black faces. And all 4 years of undergrad, I played my black card so tight. It got me out of so many things. It got me so many retakes. It got me so many late assignments.
Yo,
I did abuse the system because I wasn't a fraternity. I did party way too hard. I showed up to class like for the entire junior year drunk every single morning, 8 a.m.
He was a wild boy.
I will say, it was terrible. Terrible thing for me to do.
Okay.
But you did.
But I graduated.
You do what you got to do.
Right.
Oh, did you?
No.
Oh, I'm trying to get floated. No, I'm joking. Pause. But, yo, if you could, if there's a black kid watching, like, right now, you know, what would you guys, you go first, Monty. What would you guys say to that individual about, you know, picking HBCUs or predominantly white school?
I would tell the kid, the student, to not limit themselves, to do something I didn't do enough. Go on college tours. Mm-hmm. Go visit the campus.
Yeah.
Go actually look at the school. Go actually talk to the professors. Mm-hmm. And whether it's an HBCU or a PWI, go where you think that you will succeed the most.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have to actually go to the schools. You visit the schools and see the schools and learn about the schools to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. I like that. I think I applied to one college.
No.
That's the one I went to.
One college?
I applied to AU and that was it.
Right. No. Yeah.
Remember our teacher, the history teacher, the dude, he had us
do scholarships.
Yeah. He had
I never applied to be an actual student. I applied for the scholarship like he told us.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Never applied for schools.
All right. Miss Massey, what would you tell that individual?
I want to piggyback on Monte. Like, definitely take those college tours. Talk to somebody that's in from both sides of the fence. Like, you do have some people that are who have PWIs, like, especially with us being in Montgomery, Alabama, you got people that love Auburn, diehard Auburn fans.
Right.
They diehard Alabama fans. You got diehard in the HBCU world, diehard ASU fans, diehard A&M fans, like diehard Tuskegee fans. So
right.
I would say definitely do your research and just see what best fits you. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to be what you are going to and willing to participate and be in and make the best of the best decision that you've done. Because HBCUs are needed in this time frame. I feel like a lot of us can lose our identity in a PWI, but the HBCU, your blackness is always in front of you. Like, even with the dorm rooms or or administration or anything like that. It just, it gives you a grit about yourself that you can't get anywhere else. So, but definitely do your research. College tours, one, do a college tour. Talk to some professors, talk to the professors, and just make sure that you're doing something for you and not for anybody else.
All right. Well, we will continue shortly. We're going to take a short break. All right. Picking back up, we were talking about HBCUs. And Monte, you brought up an interesting thing about, like, using your black privilege and, you know, getting, you know, like, a little help, you know, a little pass around. And you questioned, well, someone questioned if that was, like, a negative thing or not. But in my opinion, you know, I feel like it's making the playing field even, because there's a lot of opportunities. Well, even if it wasn't, you know, school opportunities, there's a lot of opportunities that, you know, are withheld from you, you know, because you're black. So, you know, whatever advantage, you know, you could do, I feel like you're entitled to, honestly. That might sound like close-minded or whatever, but it is what it is. But, Steph, you had a question?
Yeah, actually. Okay, so I don't remember what school it was, but there was a student at a predominantly white institution that I think sometime past few months, she started a majorette team at her school. And so, like, it sparked this huge debate online, or everybody's like, you know, things that are, you know, that come from an HBCU should stay in an HBCU, and that we shouldn't be taking HBCU culture into PWIs. So how do you feel about that? Is that something you feel like she should have kept, that needs to stay within our circle and not be, you know, spread to the masses?
Well, anything that's great is going to be duplicated. So imitation is just everything. Like, if you're doing something so great that it wants to be imitated, it's like, go for it. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. Because you're saying that HBCU culture is so bomb that you need to bring it to a PWI.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Well, the people that were upset about that, it's like, you must don't like being copied. That's all it is. But I didn't see anything wrong with it. I do remember hearing it, though.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I feel I'm a little conflicted about it. Mm-hmm. A part of me is like, you know, yes, like, it's, you know, it's cool. Like, just seeing that one instance of what she did, mm-hmm. it was really great. She was able to bring something that she may not have been able to experience otherwise, mm-hmm. something she's always wanted to do, and mm-hmm. she made it for herself. And I like that, but what it could eventually turn into, where it becomes this whitewashed thing, mm-hmm. where now we are seeing where there's no more of it being, because I think her team is majority black, mm-hmm. but eventually we will see majorette teams that are all white, mm-hmm. maybe one black face. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I feel like that is, in general, that's like the thing that we have to battle all the time, mm-hmm. is we are always duplicated, mm-hmm. always copied. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I appreciate it on one hand. It's mm-hmm. like, because we all know where it came from, but we don't get that credit. Right. And there will be a day, I know there will be a day that there will be an all-white majorette team. Right. And they will act like it's something that they created.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the part for me that's like, it's just always got to
hold that line. Silver lining. But then, too, it's like, well, if you wanted that experience, why didn't you go to HBCU?
Exactly.
That's right.
That was how
there's so many. I can't remember the number, but there are private HBCUs. Yeah. Like, there are private Christian HBCUs. Yeah. There are public HBCUs.
They're everywhere.
It's a type for everyone. Like Xavier University is a HBCU, but it's Catholic.
I didn't know that.
Right. So
I didn't know there was an HBCU.
Right. So it's like Tennessee State University is right. A HBCU.
Bethune Cookman, am I saying that right?
Yeah, but
isn't that one, is that like a Methodist or something?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But I think it's a Christian university or something.
Yeah.
But there's something for everyone.
Right.
So for her, I did forget that part, but for her to feel, I guess it depends. She just was trying to bring a little piece of what she thought it was our culture to introduce it to the PWI. But I feel like it was Auburn. Was it Auburn?
No,
I don't remember what school.
I want to say somewhere in Florida, but
was it somewhere in Florida?
I don't know. Okay. I really.
But yeah, I do remember that story. But too, I agree with you too. It's just like we duplicate it, but like we can't have nothing for ourselves because it's always. It's always somebody trying to do it or do it better, and y'all still end up looking a mess.
Right.
Right.
And a lot of times, like, I feel like we just want to, just like we want justice mm-hmm. with, in whatever form that is, mm-hmm. but also just wanting our credit. We just want to be acknowledged that is where it came from and right. stop trying to, like, take things.
Right.
Like, just get a little in the weeds here, but just as another example, the mini buns, I'll never forget, like, however many years ago it was, I think maybe my freshman year of college or so, but I remember seeing, like, an ad with Marc Jacobs, I believe, or mm-hmm. not, one of them, you know, the, like, a clothing, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, brand, and they had this white woman, she had Bantu knots in. And it was like the new thing, mini buns. And I just, it just hit me like it felt like somebody just kicked me in the gut. And I'm like, what?
They again? Did that with cornrows too.
Yes, you know, the box
that braids. Brought them.
And it's just like, it's like just, we all just know where it comes from. But right, it's yeah. just a constant take. Right. And nobody's giving
they
back.
They even getting locks too.
Yes, mm-hmm. I can't. That I'm conflicted about.
Yo, there's a place in Denver up where I live, and like there, I was trying to get like you know, my kids' hair done, and you know, there's like a dude who like learned how to do locks on Caucasian dude learned how to do locks on the internet. He's doing like all these locks and stuff like that for Caucasians.
Interesting.
It's a bunch of them up there, though. You know, Caucasian straight locks. But
well, yeah. That's a whole other conversation, but
locks up. But
yeah, that okay. is another mm-hmm. conversation. Mm-hmm. But I guess anything else? All right, we'll wrap it up. HBCUs are great institutions, in my opinion. I didn't go to one. I got accepted to A&M. But yeah, I did. I do regret not going. I actually stayed because of Amber. That's why I stayed. But anyway, a lot of yeah. But you know, it's important. It is like, you know, Ms. Massey said, it's important to do your research. Me and Amber were fortunate to have Ms. Massey as a teacher, and she actually took us, you know, she set up this thing for us to go to A&M and meet, you know, some of her people and stuff like that. And, you know, that was really good for, you know, really good for me. It was like, you know, someone took the time out, you know, and cared about our people. And that's what HBCUs are. You know, if I could go back, you know, I would have definitely went to A&M. Mm. Probably would have had more kids, but
highly likely.
You said highly likely. Yeah. But you know, I would like to thank Monte and Ms. Massey for coming and sharing their insight and their knowledge. It was like it was a lot too. It was good, you know, volume of information, and you know, we really appreciate you guys coming.
Appreciate you too.
Thank you, Randall.
Thank you. And
that does it. See you guys next week. I'm Randall.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Amber.
And that's Miss Massey and Monte. And we'll see you guys. Bye.